This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So it's opening day. That's right. Like, the first 2 days of March Madness are my favorite event. But the greatest day, as Hoodie put it earlier, because from my seat, his seat, it's summer's around the corner. Golf season's back. We've got baseball for the next 6+ months. Like, it's the greatest, man. I just absolutely so love that every day, basically, my team's playing. Let's go.
Nothing like baseball.
I bought season tickets, a small packet, not the 162, the 81 games, but I bought tickets, Cubs and White Sox. Let's go.
Yeah.
Game on.
That's right.
I'm going to be sitting in the bleachers or in my seats, and I'm just going to enjoy. It's my favorite sport. It courses through my veins. My friend Ryan Dempster gets us ready for the Cubs home opener. Demp, good morning. Happy opening day. What do you remember about your first opening day?
Oh, wow. My very first opening day, it was in Florida. I was with the Marlins. I was on the roster. I didn't start the opening day that year. That was Alex Fernandez. But I remember it being pretty special. You know, when you have that opportunity to break camp, I know it's such a simple thing. You could come up 2 days from now. But when you break camp with the team and you get on that bird as you leave spring training and you're a part of it, man. Everything you put in the offseason, all the hard work you did to be able to make that team and be a part of it, whether you're a veteran or a young guy, it's just it's a rare time during the year that feels different than pretty much most every other day.
Ryan, what's the adjustment from spring training to opening day? You know, we talked earlier about, and if the weather was just 70 degrees, which is going to be like the next few days, that'd be great for opening day. But what's the adjustment for you? You're in a beautiful ballpark, warm weather, and then you come to 35-degree weather.
Yeah, exactly. Long underwear, multiple layers, and throw sinkers in on the hitters so they can break their fingers as they try to swing at that fastball. it's a little bit of adjustment, especially the weather thing, but if you're going good in spring training, you're just trying to keep that same momentum going. And if you're going bad, you use the old cliche, hey, spring training stats don't matter, and you go out there and start a new season, kind of fresh. So it's a different beast, but there's so much excitement. Like, it's hard to sleep before opening day. You just toss and turn. You go to bed late. You wake up early. I guarantee you most of the guys are already at the ballpark if they're not all there by now. So it's not an adjustment because it's an excitement. You're just so looking forward to it.
When you took the mound for your first start, you've told me that story many times, and I think was your first start at Wrigley?
My first major league start, Wrigley Field, June 1998.
So as you start to get through it then, and that one may not have gone the way you had hoped. I think Sammy and Henry Rodriguez both took you deep in the first inning. But then as you get established and, wow, Ryan Dempster's a part of the rotation, and now you're a major leaguer, was every opening day equally special or, nope, I tried to keep it, it's just one of 162?
Yeah, I get it that it's 1-162, but there should be an asterisk next to it because it's just a different feeling. It's the only game, minus the playoffs, so take the playoffs out of it. It's the only game all year where they're doing intros. There's a lot of hoopla around it. You know, all of a sudden all the people you never saw in a suit and tie before are all dressed up fancy. And rightfully so, it's the kickoff to a new season, so it should be that way. But it is different. It's exciting. And when you have the honor to be able to be the person that's out on the mound to start opening day and kick your season off for your team, that's something you take a lot of pride in. You still have to approach it the same way, but it feels different. So you have to learn how to control those emotions and hone those emotions in. And I was really, really lucky to be able to start some opening days for the Cubs, and I'm just looking forward to watching Kyle Hendricks out on the mound today.
You know, Demp, you look at this Cubs team. Cap and I have been talking about it the last few years. It's amazing. You watch this team on paper and you say, boy, I don't know if I'd want to face Hayward or Baez or Bryant or Rizzo. And the team is underachieved as far as where they were as a World Series team to where they are right now. How does this season feel to you when you've seen the team underachieve offensively the last few years?
Yeah, I think it's a byproduct of a couple different things. I think you know, they've felt the ultimate rush, the greatest sports championship we've seen won and might ever see in our lifetime. And to try and duplicate that and get those energy levels up and, hey, guys, be just as excited. You know, we can talk that's possible, but I don't know that it is possible. I just think that it's hard. And those guys have played a lot more baseball than everybody else. And I'm not making excuses. Trust me, they know they need to do a better job of, you know, putting runs on the board and being the players that they're capable of being playing. But guys are also making improvements. Some guys have off years. Jason Hayward, you look at his contract and you look at his years as a Cub, each year that he's played, he's gotten better and better and better. And so there's a lot of positive things. And then, you know, I look at this year and I look, man, what a luxury. Sparky Anderson always made the comment. He said, you know, you give me 25 guys in their free agent year, I'll give you a world champ or a World Series appearance. That's just the reality. When you have a bunch of guys motivated by other reasons too, that bodes very, very well. So you combine that with guys wanting to prove themselves in the free agent market, or here with the Cubs, and then a really, really good pitching staff, I think that they could do extremely well this year.
Yeah, I love the reference of Sparky Anderson, Cap.
I mean, I love that guy.
How come managers, Ryan, in the 80s and in a little bit into the 90s, where they looked old but they were young? like Sparky Anderson, to me, looked 80 years old. Whitey Herzog looked 80 years old the entire time.
When they were 40.
The Leland. How come they look so old when they actually were young guys? Like, we'd look at them now and say, wow, you're ancient. But, I mean, but you see, they just had old baseball face, did they not?
Yeah, the players, too. You know, you're funny you say that. I've been in the card collecting world again, and I got some 1953 and 54, the old Harvey Haddocks with the Cardinals, and, you know, some Richie Ashburn cards, and I'm like, how old were these guys when they were playing? Is this a men's league from, like, the over 40 league? But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was just more stressful back then or they drank while they played. So maybe it's just a little bit different.
So, and we're talking to Ryan Dempster, who works with the Cubs. He works on Marquee. He is all over the baseball scene. So, Demp, as you look at Kyle Hendricks today and then Zach Davies, like, a lot of people were critical of the Yu Darvish trade. I didn't like the return, but I had no problem trading him. He's going to be 35. He's had multiple arm surgeries. I didn't have a problem moving him. I just wanted to use the savings that they got of $52 million to acquire more talent for the team. What do you think of this rotation 1-5 then?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're sneaky good. Cap, we all fall in love. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We go to the ballpark and somebody throws a pitch and it looks really hard and we all look up to the radar gun. We and then we also marvel and we sit there and scratch our head when somebody's not lighting up that radar gun to go, man, how does he get people out with that? You know, and that looks like Hamlin Park on a Friday night.
Right.
But the reality is it's all about, you know, changing speeds and pitching and put the ball where you want. It's not about how hard you can throw it. These guys work diligently in the batting cage, and I always said they could hit a bullet out of a gun if you give them three swings at it. They'll eventually catch up to some fastballs. So when you can change speeds, you know, I had a chance to play with Maddox, and I sat with Greg Maddox in Houston. He was starting that day against Roger Clemens, and I thought this was an incredibly insightful comment he made to a reporter. The next day he was pitching against Roger Clemens, and the reporter comes up and says, Greg, can you mind talking to you? And he's having this whole conversation about pitching. And he says, yeah, but you and Roger do it so differently because they were both 300-game winners. And Greg said to him, he said, we do it exactly the same. And the reporter had this kind of puzzled look on his face. And Greg said, we just do it 10 miles an hour difference. And I just thought that was so brilliant because it's the truth. If you throw 85 or 95, it doesn't matter. If your speed differential is the same, and I look at the rotation when you have Kyle Hendricks and you have Zach Davies, they're soft throwers, but they get big league hitters out every year, year in, year out. Zach Davies was phenomenal last year. And Kyle, we know what he's done over the history. So, and Jake's back and feeling healthy. You got a young kid who's looking to prove himself in Alzolay, and then another guy looking to have a bounce back here. So I think you have five bona fide experienced starters. Do they light it up at 100? No. Do you want 100 and be excited? Or do you want to just win ball games? And these guys pitch and they win ball games, and I just think it's really impressive what they do.
So you mentioned Maddox, and I was going to say to you, I was in the Cubs dugout one day, and a reporter is he's kind of trash talking about Maddox, doesn't realize Greg is standing behind him. He's like, how does this effing guy get people out at 84 miles an hour? And Maddox tapped him on the shoulder. He goes, hey, go walk out on the Kennedy and let a car go by at 84 miles an hour. Pretty freaking fast, isn't it? He said, and if that car keeps changing lanes all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. He said, that's what I do. I change lanes all the time. I'm outside, I'm inside. He goes, you can get people out as long as you have a differential from your hard stuff to your slow stuff.
Absolutely. And that's all it's about, you know. And he would say things like, I remember, kind of joking about the generous strike zone that the Braves got back in the late or in the 90s, you know, into the 2000s there.
Generous?
It was huge. If you could throw it somewhere over here, it was a strike. And I just said, yeah, we never got that, you know, as young guys with the Marlins. And he said, yeah, Ryan, but we would throw it there 8 times out of 10. You guys would throw it there 3 times out of 10. When you can, those are human beings calling balls and strikes behind home plate. So if I throw it and it's a strike and it's on the corner and I move it over 2 inches, you're telling me that person can see 2 inches at 88 miles an hour? No, it looks the same. Now, if I throw it outside and then I throw one that's in the other batter's box and then I throw in that bouncer and then all of a sudden I paint one for a strike, the umpire probably thinks it's a ball. But if you're consistent and you know how to command your pitches, and there's been nobody in the history of the game as good as Greg Maddux at doing that, and we have a couple guys here and especially one in particular that we've grown accustomed to watching him do it. That's why he's, you know, the professor, and that's Kyle Hendricks. I mean, he's as good in baseball as there is for somebody that doesn't have plus stuff to be able to sit there and dominate hitters. You know, you look at his numbers compared to the Scherzers and the Kershaws and the DeGroms. They're right there. He's a top five pitcher in baseball, but we don't feel that way because he doesn't throw upper 90s.
Demp, you mentioned that you're into baseball cards right now, right? You're right back in there?
All of it. Sporting cards come with it. Yeah, absolutely.
Danny, I need you to tell Demp the story about your baseball cards, because it looks like your dad's trying to get rid of your baseball cards, something that you worked hard on.
Demp, I got a collection of baseball cards from when I was a little kid. Obviously, when I graduated college, I moved out of the house. The baseball cards remained in mom and dad's house where I grew up, where they still live. Now my dad calls me and he tells me, you know all those baseball cards you spent years and years collecting? I'm giving them to your nephew because he wants to sell them. Well, who owns those? Me or dad?
Those are yours. Like, just that's a simple, you know, no problem, you know? Hey, Dad, I'm giving your card to one of your grandkids because they want to sell it. You know, those are your baseball cards. You go get those things because it's a big market out there. You could buy a home with the way the price of these things are nowadays.
Yeah, it's amazing what some of those are.
Yeah, so there you go, Danny.
It's a lot of fun to watch them. I got a pack right now, no lie, in my pocket. I got a pack of Fleer 1986 Fleer basketball unopened. Thinking about opening it.
Why don't you
open it now?
Open them right now.
Yeah, open it on the air.
Right now?
Right now.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. I can't, that's like a little hard to do. I'm walking right now.
You can.
If I have a Jordan rookie card, I can't drop that thing. I got to put it in a case and get myself $500,000.
I have one of those Jordan rookie cards.
Yeah.
And you're still working.
Yeah, it didn't grade out as highly as I hoped.
Ah, little grays on the side.
Yeah, little grays.
I know. I got a 7. I wish I had a 10.
Oh God, 10 is $500,000.
Yeah. If you guys are waiting, I'm not going to open it right now. I got to be in the right environment for this. Sorry, not to drive down the ratings, but
that would have been awesome if you got a Jordan rookie card. That would have been incredible. Well, enjoy the game today. Thank you for coming on. Hey, tell us, you got a something going on with who's the company with the hamburger and the fries with the off the mound that you do?
Yeah, it's awesome. So Goose Island, Clybourne, Goose Island and the Goose Island Brew Pub down on Clybourne partnered up to do a burger for charity. So it's the off-the-mound burger. It's an unbelievably dish, delicious. Chef Henry killed it. 3 parts, short rib, top sirloin, and ground beef, smothered in some Canadian white cheddar. And then it's got the caramelized onions, truffle butter, truffle marrow butter on top of that, crispy prosciutto. And the whole thing comes with your own crowler. Off the Mound Crowler. So it's the Off the Mound Burger, and it's all benefiting 22Q Family Foundation, which, of course, you know, CAP is the foundation that that runs for children with 22Q, which is what my daughter Riley has. And it's my daughter's Riley's birthday today. So
happy birthday.
Yeah, 12 years old today. She's come a long way and just really fired up to have this burger. It's delicious. I tried it the other day, and
and it all goes for a great cause.
Demp, you're the best. Appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you soon on a golf course.
Absolutely, Cap. You bet.
You're the man.
All right, see you guys.
Have a good day. There he is, the great Ryan Dempster. All right, are you going to Wrigley Field today? Are you already in Wrigleyville? We want to hear from you. Are you at a bar? Are you in that area? What is it like? Please let us know. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So are you out in the Wrigleyville area? What is Wrigleyville like right now? I would love to know. Is there any buzz? Like, are people in the bar?
Have you guys heard anything from friends? Jeff, Danny, anything?
I haven't heard from anyone there yet. I do know there are going to be exactly 46 spots open today in Wrigleyville. So if you are interested in hanging out.
46 different bars?
Bars and restaurants. 46 will be open. Some will have, you know, obviously capacities for indoor seating, and they'll have outdoor seating if you want to brave the 35-degree temperatures. But it will feel more like Wrigleyville today than it has in over a year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess it will. I guess you're right about that. It just won't seem like that buzz, that New Orleans buzz when there's people all over the streets and stuff. And just
right.
Like, it won't have that same kind of feeling, that festival feeling.
Correct.
It'll be people, but it won't feel the same.
Like, last year, obviously, nobody could go. So that was the first opening day that I missed in 30 years. I mean, I started broadcasting for them in the 95 season. Ooh. And I covered the team for this signal, but it wasn't ESPN 1000 then, before that. So I've been out there forever. And now here's opening day. I'm not going to be out there.
95, huh? Treblehorn?
No, first year of Jim Riggleman.
That's not so bad.
Treblehorn was the guy out by the firehouse.
Yes.
And then the strike came, and then they whacked him during the strike, and they hired Andy McPhail, Ed Lynch, and Jim Riggleman.
Riggleman's not so bad. I like Jim Riggleman.
The nicest human being I've ever worked with.
So,
the best.
So, okay, so have you got any texts, anything, Cap, from friends? What they're doing around Wrigleyville? Anybody reach out to you?
Because
I'm just wondering. And then the story from the Chicago Tribune by the staff talking about what's going to go on around Wrigley Field. It's going to be a reduced capacity, of course, around Wrigley Field because of the COVID-19 pandemic. They've got some protocols out here. The city has cleared the way for rooftops near Wrigley Field to host fans at 50% capacity, 50 people within one space, according to the Tribune.
I mean, I think there are a lot of people that are looking to have a feel-good moment, getting back to some sense of normalcy. And if they're fully vaccinated and they feel like, hey, man, I'm in a good spot here, I'm going to go. I'll bet there are people that want – my sister-in-law wanted to get tickets. She couldn't.
Right.
She's like, do you have any access to tickets? I'm like, nope, I don't work there anymore. But she wanted to go. She was all in. She's vaccinated. She's like, I'm going. I'm absolutely going to go.
Now, you remember this time, not this time last year, but I remember in the summer when we saw Cubs games and you saw the rooftops and you were asking me, like, how come the rooftops are full? Mm-hmm. Where's the protocols there, Lightfoot?
Right.
It's like it's supposed to be some kind, at least 50%, and it just seemed like it was like a normal July day when the rooftops were full.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure with the cold temperatures, it probably will be exactly half full. At least that's what we believe, right?
Correct.
As the temperatures get warmer starting in the weekend, that's going to be interesting to see.
It is.
How's it going to look?
And are people going to, you know, they say you got to keep your mask on except you're eating or drinking. Well, you're telling me people are going to go, I'm eating and drinking, and the masks are all going to. We just got to be careful here. Just be careful and do the right thing so that we don't have to take a step back.
Okay. We're going to have some breaking news here. We're going to keep our eyes on it, right, Danny? There's some news coming across there we'll keep our eyes on. But I'm just wondering about what is going on, especially when the Sox come back, too. Will we start having an increase in fans as we move forward throughout the summer? Like right now, what did they say for Wrigley as far as fans?
25%.
that's 2,000 fans?
No, that is
1,500?
25% of 42,000. So that's, what, about 10,000?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 10,000. Okay. And I'm wondering how that moves forward. I guess they look at COVID-19 protocols, right, to find out whether or not we're going to get more and more fans.
Correct.
This is breaking news.
Whoa.
Sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports.
Right.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here on Cap and Jay Hood. Dan.
Gentlemen, from Shams Charania, Hall of Fame, North Carolina coach, former coach of the University of Kansas, Roy Williams is retiring.
Wow. That is a blue blood job that just opened.
Porter Moser.
All right, let's... We turn now to Jeff Beller for the college basketball ramifications of this apparent retirement for Roy Williams, Jeff.
Hoodie, I think because UCLA is the only remaining blue blood in the tournament, they're going to take this loss hard. Bet heavily on Gonzaga on Saturday night.
All right. Thank you very much. We turn now to color analyst David Kaplan with his memories of Roy Williams. Cap. All right. Just snap it. Let's go.
Oh, I got memories.
If this was NBC Sports Chicago, there would be no Right there, buddy. Let's go. Oh, for heaven's sakes. This is your moment. Step into it.
Yeah, I remember him.
Oh, God.
Swearing at Bonnie Bernstein. My
that's what
memory.
Everyone remembers.
Roy, you going to take North Carolina? I'm worried about this crew right here that just lost in a championship game. Well, people want to, I don't give a blank. Remember that? He was none too pleased. Look, he's a great coach. He's going to go down as one of the game's all-time greats. You could see that his health was not in a great place. He kept having battles with vertigo and... It's a 24/7, 365 job. Coach, we got to make recruiting calls. Coach, plane's waiting. We got to get here. Coach, we got to go see that. It's a young man's game now.
Whoa. That's a bombshell.
That's a big one.
We're checking sources here. Even the North Carolina UNC_basketball. So, because we're checking this through other sources.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening.
Yeah.
So take that, Bears fan.
So why would you walk away?
I think he was physically whipped. Done.
Physically whipped.
The University of North Carolina, by the way, has just tweeted out, so it is official.
Yeah, Schefter, I think, was actually the first one to get it. Schefter. Shefty is all over the place. And, look, how old is Roy? 70?
Roy Williams is 70 years old. He'll be 71 in August. So
yeah.
By the start of next season, he'd be 71.
Okay, so this is just brutal honesty.
If that team was any good, he'd be back next season.
I don't think so. I think his health was more of a concern than he let on. And I'm just telling you, even if he has amazing health, amazing, he's got what? 16 good years left on the earth?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
20? I mean, when you get to 90, man, when you get to 90, you start to struggle. And he's like, I don't want to live it on planes and all. I want to spend some time with my family.
Hey, man, he's going to die soon. Retire now. Take that.
16 if he's lucky.
I mean, 16, maybe. Take that. What is wrong with you?
Wait a
minute. Don't know what God has. You don't know what he's got in store.
Dude, 10 if we're being realistic.
I'm just telling you.
Guys, I've seen his diet. He likes a lot of Coke. I'm giving him 6.
What is wrong with you?
I'm being honest here.
God complex.
No, I'm being honest.
I'm looking at what he's dealing with now. All the stress from... It's got to be 5 years. He's dead.
The guy collapsed how many times where he was dizzy. They had to help him to get up to a seat. And he's like, I'm 71. If the good Lord blesses me with really good health for 15 years, I'm late 80s. I got no lead in my pencil.
What?
I want to enjoy life.
All right,
stop
that's
that.
It, that's it. All right, let's go to break.
Hey, you want to hear
that's
something? Wait, let me give you something
that's
jaw-dropping.
It. That's
15 years at the University of Kansas.
Can't get it up.
18 years.
I live.
18 years at UNC. 3 championships. Do you know what his record was? 903-264.
It's pretty amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Why did you say that?
Trying to get that taste out of your mouth.
Wait,
you know, I'm trying to get that taste out of your mouth, and you keep going back.
I want to know why he said it.
Because it's honesty. It is honesty.
He can't get it up anymore. Take that. Why would you don't know that either? Did he tell you that? Did he tell you that? I know you got everybody. You had 18,000 numbers. Did he text you late one night? I'll just tell you right now. I can't get it up no more. I'm retiring.
I didn't say he can't get it up now. I said if he gets 16 more good years of health. He's so 87.
18 more years of good sex.
He ain't laying pipe regularly at 87. I'm just telling you. I mean, come on. I want to enjoy life, man.
Danny's had enough on an opening day. He's already had enough.
I can guarantee you this is the only sports radio talk show in the country that is breaking down the Roy Williams retirement like this.
How about that? See, Danny's already done.
You worried Bill Self's going to take the UNC job, Danny?
Uh-oh. Never. Never going to happen. I'm pushing Porter.
Wait a minute.
Porter and Sister Jean. Yep. I mean, that's a nice retirement community for her.
Don't think North Carolina job's a better job, isn't it? Not?
Than Loyola?
No.
Than Kansas?
No. Par.
Kansas has
made more consecutive tournaments.
Jordan?
Kansas has made more consecutive tournaments than that.
You got a state full of players in North Carolina. You got more access to players at North Carolina. Bill's done an incredible job. Incredible.
He's done everything in Kansas.
North Carolina's a better job.
Get ready for Bruce Weber to coach your Jayhawks.
No, we're going to take Underwood. We're going to keep sticking it to Illinois. If they take Bill Self, guess what? We're coming for Brad Underwood. Just to stick it to Illinois every chance we get.
Cap, we really like Kansas. So good to be here. The kids are so great. Sorry. Going to be in the middle of the pack in the Big 12. Piece of pizza.
Weber back to Kansas. Self. There it is. Self to North Carolina.
I'm starting the rumor. Jay Williams to coach North Carolina.
No,
no shot.
Making that up.
All right, shot or no shot. Coming up next.
Lead in the pencil.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
That's why I see him in the
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse to experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. You make me laugh, man. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit $20 with the code ESPN. Danny.
Shot or no shot, Roy Williams currently has more lead in his pencil than Cap.
Shot.
Really?
I left it all in that
what
pitching challenge.
Oh. Ooh, I was going to say.
All right, gentlemen. So, welcome.
You left it all over 35th and back, huh?
It's all over.
That's where all your lead is?
That's it.
Poor Mindy.
Oh, well. Makes me happy. Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Today is opening day. Shot or no shot, today officially marks the end of the Cubs' golden era and the beginning of the White Sox golden era.
No shot. I think the Cubs will have a better year than people expect because these guys are all in walk years. Yes, the Sox are going to have a hell of a year. Next year will be the difference.
That is a shot, Danny, because I want the Cubs to prove me wrong and prove Cub fans wrong as well, like yourself. This team is underachieved. It's a head-scratcher. It's not like these are bums out there. We've seen opening days where you see the lineup, you're like, there's no way the Cubs can compete. This team should be able to compete, but it just has not in the biggest moments in the postseason. I will say until they prove it to me, then I'll say shot, that this is the end of an era for the Cubs, even with Theo out of it, and the core of that team still around, I will say shot.
All right, gentlemen, to the Bulls side of town, Patrick Williams has relinquished his number 9 to Vooch for an undisclosed sum of money. Gentlemen, Shot or no shot, that undisclosed sum of money was north of $50,000.
No shot. No shot. I'm guessing it's like 25K, something like that.
Because it's a rookie and he's a kid?
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, if you ask Tom Brady, like, if Tom Brady wanted your 12 and you are, you know, some amazing player, okay, maybe they're, he's so closely branded, he's worth so many hundreds of millions. Maybe it's bigger. No. Nikola Vucevic wants number 9. He's a really good player, but he's Nikola Vucevic. Yes, he makes great money.
$26 million he's making.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's 25K and not a penny more.
I would know. I don't know. I guess I would say shot. I'll say shot to that. I actually don't know how much money that he was given for that. At first, it was free, right? What's the story, Danny? It's like because Patrick Williams didn't care about the number. Right, initially.
When he heard that Vooch wanted number 9, he said flippantly, hey, you know, he's my new teammate. Welcome to Chicago. I'm just going to give him number 9. He wants it. I'm just going to give it to him. And the vets on the Bulls team pulled him aside and were like, hey, man, that's not how this thing works. You're going to get something back for it. And then that's when it was talked about that he got an undisclosed sum. Williams would not budge on giving up what that number was.
I would say, for me, all I would want is a Rolex.
Yeah.
High end. That's what I'd want.
So I've heard people say, boy, my dream is to own a Rolex. Like, that's like number 9,974 on my list.
Right.
My brother, oh, God, that's his dream to be able to get a Rolex like you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's bulky. I like my Apple Watch, and I'm a happy freaking guy.
I'm not necessarily a guy that likes a lot of jewelry. I'm just saying that. Just for something like that, since I've never had one, if I'm Patrick Williams, that were they handing those out of Florida State? I don't know. Were they handing out Rolex?
Yeah, you get that with your letter of intent.
Letter of Hamilton. I don't think he was doing that. I think that because I've never had one as a rookie, that's what I would want.
I would probably tell him, if he said, hey, man, I don't care what it costs, I make $26 million a year, I'd say buy me a car.
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Clinton Portis with the Washington Redskins paid $40,000 for his number.
$40,000.
And how long ago was that? $40,000.
When
and
did he
wasn't
retire?
He wasn't making $28 million.
How long ago was that? We're talking about 2010s.
Yeah. Well, Portis is probably like the early, you know, 05-06 range.
So we put that in the inflation calculator, Danny, and that's like 47,000-48,000 now.
Yep. Lee Evans.
Yep.
Of the Buffalo Bills paid $20,000.
Yep.
And this is NFL money, so they're not making what NBA players are making, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, because of salary cap restrictions.
It was 2004, Clinton Portis.
Oh, that's what is that in today's money? that's a lot more. So there you go. All right, Danny.
And by the way, Clinton Portis stiffed him?
And he got sued for it, yeah, and he had to pay $18,000. He offered $40,000. Then he got the number. He never paid. And
correct.
Then he was taken to court where he had to pay $18,000.
If Ifeani Ohalate got 18 of the $20,000 then for the jersey number 26, but he also had to pay the attorney's fees, making the total bill anyway, instead of he'd just given him the 40, $38,000.
Well, how about this?
What's that name you just gave us there?
Ifeani Ohalate.
Are you having a series of small strokes? You all right, buddy?
Thank you.
You all right?
That's why it's 71. Roy Williams walked away.
All right.
Go ahead, Danny.
Quickly, here's why I'm saying it's a shot. It's over 50K. Hall of Famer Ricky Henderson, when he got to the Blue Jays in 1993, he wanted number 24. He paid $25,000 for it. All right, gentlemen.
Who told his first baseman? He's like, I used to play with a guy with a helmet at first base just like you.
Yeah, John Olerud. He said he gets traded. He goes, dude, amazing. I just played with a guy in New York. Looks just like you, and he wears a helmet, too. He goes, hey, jackass, I was your teammate. Yes.
Ricky.
He also got $1 million. This is a true story. Got $1 million check when he set the stolen base record all time.
Put in the frame.
He framed it. And they said, Ricky, the check has never cleared the team's account. Did you deposit it?
No.
I framed it. It's on the wall.
That goes in the category with your Dirk story and your Kevin Garnett story, Cap. That's now I'm moving that from you've told it a lot to it's the most predictable story. When you hear the name Ricky Henderson, we know it's coming.
What do you want me to tell you?
I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you know how I categorize these things. All right, last one quickly, gentlemen. Michael Strahan, who you know from the Fox and NFL and Good Morning America, he underwent a procedure to close his iconic gap in between his two teeth. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, without his iconic look, he loses some of his impact. It's like Letterman with his teeth or Anthony Davis with his eyebrow. It's a mistake I think he made.
I'm going to say no shot. When you think of him, what did you think of? I see hard worker. That's what I see.
Yeah, I see a guy who busts his tail.
I never thought about the gap in his teeth that often.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, only when he smiled, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was there, and it's like, yeah, whatever. But now that it's not there, I don't go, oh, my God, he's so different. No, good for him.
My wife is an avid Good Morning America viewer. Mm-hmm. She was appalled by this yesterday. I mean, I came home, this was all she wanted to discuss was Michael Strahan's teeth and the fact that he got rid of the iconic gap.
It's not iconic. Stop calling it the iconic
gap. It is iconic,
oh,
man.
Stop it.
Yeah. Disagree.
It's not iconic. It is. The Letterman gap, yes. The Strahan gap. You know why it's iconic? Because he stole Tiki Barber's life. How about that?
No, Tiki Barber gave it to him. Had Tiki Barber put in any work ethic, it would have still been Tiki Barber's life.
It was Tiki Barber's life.
No question.
It was what he wanted to do. He wanted to be on Good Morning America. He wanted to have his own show. He wanted to be on Fox.
That's a really good idea. I'll take it.
And Tiki's like, I'm on CBS Sports Network. No one sees me. like that's
Do you
so
remember
good.
Tiki Barber on Good Morning America?
Solid.
Oh no.
Well, he was bad.
He did zero work. Like he thought that it was gonna be Tiki Barber rolling off the football field and just everybody thinking he was great. And then when he realized actual work had to be done, that's when the train hit him.
I thought he would do solid work.
I'm a huge Strahan guy though. Huge.
Well, I appreciate the work ethic for sure. But Tiki's like, hey man. Now no one knows the difference between me and my brother. It's interchangeable. I mean, it could be anybody.
Excuse me, are you Rondé?
No.
No, I'm Tiki.
I'm Tiki. Like, you are? Well, we know Strahan because he doesn't have the gap in his teeth anymore. There you go.
Take that. Danny.
That's all the time we have
all
for
right,
today.
Danny.
Kaplan.
All right.
Oh, lineups are in. We got that next.
Yes, we have the lineups. The Chicago Cubs opening day lineup is set. The White Sox, we got it all. And hard-hitting analysis on Roy Williams' retirement from North Carolina. Why? The untold story. It's all coming up next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Opening day, we were talking about foods on this show and Roy Williams and his probable need for Blue Chew and all of that. But we got into Cracker Jack. Maller wants more peanuts with his Cracker Jack. And it reminded me, Stoney tells an amazing story that John McDonough and Jay Blunk said, hey, it's the 100th anniversary of Cracker Jack. We should get the descendants of the company who still run it in the booth when Harry sings because he mentions Cracker Jack. And this is what happened. They were in the booth when this happened. Hang on, Mel. You got to pod me up there, buddy.
Jack thinking you're going to get a prize and find no prize in the box. Here's the pitch. That might not sound important to some people, but when you're a little kid, especially from humble origin, and they cheat you out of a prize. There's a bouncing ball. Second baseman has the Barbary over the first. It's hard to think in laudatory terms of the product.
I think if there was an occasional box of Cracker Jacks that found no prizes for for the little Harry Carey many years ago.
You got that right. And boy, when a box of Cracker Jack to me meant a lot of money. Here's a pitch, bounce foul. That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of. One ball, one strike. These guys say, well, you sing about Cracker Jack. I said that I only sing it because it's in the song. Here's a pitch foul back. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised, even to this day, some youngsters who buy a box of Cracker Jack don't find a prize in the box. One ball, two strikes, two out. Well, if you're going to talk about our congressman being crooked, here's a pitch foul out of play. Why not talk about commercial products that don't do what they represent to do?
They threatened to sue the Tribune Company for what he did, called it slander. They were livid that Harry did that. And you know what? Harry didn't care. Harry could do whatever he wanted.
Notice that Stone did a lot of laying out there. Didn't say a lot.
Nothing.
Here's Brett Barbary. Barbary. And there's like another. It's a guy that's at the plate. I don't even know who's batting. He's just a foul ball back. Let me tell you about our congressman. It's just so great.
It's the best.
You just don't get that anymore.
No. And then in 1997, Cubs were coming off a decent finish in 96, if you remember. They got eliminated from the wild card late in the season, both 95 and 96. 97, it didn't start out very well. And they were 0-6. They lost to the Marlins and the Braves on the road. Got swept. They're 0-6. I said to Waddle, hey, man, guess what we're doing? What? We're stealing the WGN fan van. We're going to park it by Wrigley. We're going to sleep in it till they win a game.
You were 0-14.
0-14. Yeah, we had guys like Dave Kaplan who vowed to sleep in a WGN truck in the McDonald's parking lot until we won a game. And that started on game five, and he ended up there for 9 more days, which was really difficult. And I think Jim Riggleman went and knocked on the side of the van and said, finally, Kaplan opens the door, and Riggs says, sorry, man, we just stink. You might be in here for a long time. So
that is a true story. They got back from the road, and it's freaking 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? I opened the door up. People have been rocking the van who were coming from the bars. They had to hire security later. And I opened it up. He goes, I'm like, Jim. He's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry. We suck. They ended up 0-14 till I got out. Van was a little gamey.
I imagine so.
Holy smokes.
Don't be doing that anymore, will you?
No. Those days have passed. I'm not that dumb anymore.
We're just not very good. I just want you to know right now.
Crazy.
Cubs lineup is in. You want to hear it?
How about in 2 minutes?
Sure.
We'll give you the lineup.
All right.
2 minutes.